Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 says, I pray that your love will overflow more and more and that you will keep on growing. Somebody look at your neighbor and tell them, keep on growing. Keep on growing in knowledge and understanding, for I want you to understand what really matters. I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. We've been doing this new series called Things That Matter. And y'all know there are some things in life that matter more than others. Every day, we are constantly having our time competed for by things that matter and many things that don't matter. And the challenge for all of us is that we each have a limited amount of time on earth. There is a life expectancy. You will have an expiration date. As Pastor Sam said last week, the death rate is still at 100%. And so none of us get out of this thing alive unless Jesus returns. And I'm looking forward to that day. I believe we can hear the trumpet sound and he's going to meet us in the air. And that's going to be amazing. But if he waits and that doesn't take place in our lifetime, then the day of our demise will eventually come. And so the reason why I say that today is not to be depressing or discouraging, but to remind us that we have a limited amount of time to make our lives count. And so it's very important what we choose to spend our time on, how we will use our time. And so we want to use our time for things that matter, so that when we get to the end of our life, we don't have regrets. Acts chapter 20, verse 24, the Apostle Paul talking about his own life. And he says, but my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me. We all use our life for something. And what we use it for, in a large extent, determines our self-worth. He said, my life is worth nothing to me. I've wasted it unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. Each and every one of us have been assigned a work. God created you for a purpose. Amen. You're not only here for a season, but you're here for a reason. Two greatest days in every man's life are number one, the day he's born, and number two, the day he finds out why. But he said, for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Well, how many of you are thankful for God's grace today? You're glad to be born again. Amen. And so Paul said, my life, when you boil it all down, the most important thing I can do is share the good news of Jesus Christ with other people. I love what St. Francis of Assisi said. He said, preach the gospel and when necessary, use words. And so God's called all of us to share his grace with other people, whether it's through being a secretary or a teacher or a mother or a mechanic or whatever it might be. And so last time Marsha and I shared with you, we talked about who we are and what we're all about. And that is passion, purpose, and people. Those three words really are focuses that should define our life. And I got this email I wanted to share with you. It was so powerful. They said, good afternoon. We just wanted to let you know how powerful your message was today. Family means the most to us. And we want to let you know what that victory is our family. I can't even begin to thank Victory for the outpouring of love and prayers and support. 2 years ago, when our son was diagnosed with a brain tumor, the love and support we received was amazing. We felt so loved and knew right then we weren't alone in this fight. Well, how many of y'all know that makes a big difference? And they said, we moved away for almost 2 years and we missed Victory so much, but we always kept in touch. We are so happy to be back to our home church. This church is our family. We love coming every week and we love being a part of this family. There is nowhere else we'd rather be. Thank y'all so much for loving us and for being our family. Would you give God praise for that family's testimony today? So that's what we're all about, passion, purpose, and most importantly, people. But this morning, I want to again boil things that matter down to just three simple words, three areas, and talk about the three things that best define why Victory is here and why you are here. And if you'll listen this morning and engage in what I'm telling you, it is the key to living and finishing your life happy, satisfied, fulfilled, and living a life of no regrets. How many of you, that sound good to you this morning? That's what all of us want. Amen. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come to you right now humbled by the privilege to be in your house. We don't take it for granted. We don't take it lightly what we're doing here today. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all because of you, Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for your amazing love and the gift of your Son. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence and your power here right now. to take everything we hear and make it a reality in our life. I thank you, God, today that you want to show up big in every person's life and you want to reveal yourself in a greater way than ever before. And I pray that you do that. And I pray most of all that if there's anyone here that doesn't yet know your son as their savior, or if they've fallen away from you, God, let relationship be restored today. Restore fellowship, wash their sin away. I pray that shame be broken and today righteousness be restored. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, would you give him praise for what he's about to do in the next few minutes? Three words that describe why we're here. We talk about who we are, passion, purpose, people, but this is why. The first one is mission. Somebody say mission. When I hear the word mission, I think of our military. I thank God for all of our men and women in uniform and their families. A lot of times we forget their families, but their families serve as much as the men and women in uniform. But I think of the word mission, and that comes to mind. And when somebody is on a mission, I think of two things, two elements to that. There's a task and there is a time. There is a timeline and a task to be done. If we look at the definition of mission, it literally means a specific task with which a person or group is charged. Well, how many of you know, like the Apostle Paul, that you have a mission from Jesus Christ? Y'all know that today. As a church, and the church is not a building, the church is people, the church of Jesus Christ has a mission. We call it the Great Commission because it's a partnership. And a mission is the act of sending, just like God the Father sent his son Jesus Christ to earth to set us free and to save us, he also sends us out. When he changes our life through his son that he sent, he sends us to change other people's lives. And so the reality is we are here to carry on the mission that Jesus Christ began 2,000 years ago. When somebody says, are you a Christian? What they're asking you is, are you a little Jesus? Are you like Christ? And so Luke chapter 19, verse 10 tells us what the mission Jesus was on was all about. We can define it like this. For the Son of Man has come, Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. Jesus came to seek, he's looking for, and he wants to save, the Greek word sozo, which is more than the forgiveness of sin. It's total redemption. It's the restoration of what Adam and Eve lost in the Garden of Eden. It's the restoration of blessing. It's the restoration of life and of purpose and of dominion and of your destiny. Can you say thank God for that? I'm glad to be forgiven of my sins, but I'm glad the package came with a whole lot more. When you're asking for healing, when you're asking for purpose, you're not asking for something extra. You're asking for what Jesus already bought and paid for at the cross of Calvary. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he came to seek and save the lost back then, he's still doing that today. The difference is he's doing it through you and I. And so our mission is to reach our world for Jesus. Somebody look at your neighbor and tell them, we're here to reach our world. Now, people hear that and they think, my goodness, I can't go clear to Africa. You don't have to. Good news. All you got to do is go to Dollar General. Just touch the person next to you on the shoulder. God has put people within our reach. Miss Beth, there are people on the other side of the room you can't reach, but you can reach Larry. Go on, touch him. Larry, don't get too excited. You can touch the person next to you, and the person next to them can touch the person next to them. And it keeps going, and that's exactly how God has ordained for the kingdom to work. And so our mission is to reach our world for Jesus Christ, and I'm just going to warn you right now, this morning is going to be all about others, but it's going to highly impact you. And the key to living a life of fulfillment and satisfaction and living a life of no regrets is not by having everything you want, but it's about laying your life down to serve other people. So just go on and know right now, this is going to be a selfless, not a selfish message this morning. Okay? And so we place great value on the lost. We put tremendous value on people living far away from God. And we spare no expense to bring everybody who's lost, broken, backslidden, wayward, in bondage or hurt to the healer of our hearts. Why? Because we treasure everyone who is here, but we will never stop reaching out to everyone who's not here. And every day, all of us should be looking for ways to reach lost people and restore them to life, to value, and to purpose. And God wants to use you to do that in somebody else's life. And I'm going to show you before you leave today how you can have a maximum impact in the lives of the people around you. And so our mission is to reach our world for Jesus. That's literally what God wants to do through us. The greatest thing you can ever give somebody else, greater than any gift, is an introduction to God. All of us today are here because somebody invited us. All of us today are saved because somebody else shared Jesus with us. The guy who shared him with me was Cameron Mitchell Monroe, a guy I worked with at the bank in Norman, Oklahoma. And he invited me as a drunk to church one Wednesday night. And God changed my life forever, and I'm here today because of that invitation. What is the name of the person that invited you? Jesus was sent by the Father, and now he's sending us. The great commission is go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. All of us, not just people who stand behind pulpits. I'm not the only preacher in this room. Every single person in this room is a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank God for all six of you who are getting it. Think about it. God has strategically placed you and planted you where you are today. And he has called every single one of us to show his love to our world in tangible ways by embracing his word and living it out loud every single day. The only parts of this book you believe are the ones you act on. And as you obey God's word, you begin to experience him in greater ways. Amen? As you obey God's word, you begin to experience him in greater ways. I'm convinced that most believers are educated beyond our obedience. But as we begin to obey God, we experience him and know him in more powerful ways. And there are people that God has put right now in your sphere of influence, people within your reach who need what you have. And so for us, it's important that not only corporately that we embrace this responsibility for our region and for our towns, but also individually that you embrace the responsibility of understanding God has commissioned you and ordained you to go and make a difference. The mission of the church and the mission of every believer is to go get God the whole world because that's who Jesus died for. Jesus died for every sinner.
Thank God for that.
Because it included me. I'm glad he didn't leave us out. And he didn't just die for every sinner, he died for every sin. I thank God today that the blood of Jesus has the power to wash away not one of my sins, but all of my sins. And he doesn't have to wash me like a washing machine with Tide 1, 2, and 3 times to get a stain out. I thank God that the second I called on the name of Jesus, Cat, and his blood hit my spirit, it made me brand new from the inside out. It didn't make me better, it made me a new person. And so our job is to go get the whole world for him. You say, Josh, I don't know, that sounds awfully big. We've got to have a bigger picture of what God wants, church. He died for the whole world, and he wants to use you to reach your whole world. Hallelujah. People say, well, I don't want to go to a church where I don't know everybody's name. Well, don't go to heaven. I don't know this isn't Cheers. Thank you. Think about it. There's people say, well, we live in an area where there's not that many people. God's not going to do anything great in our area. Well, that's what they said about Jesus, too. Ah, he's just from that little town, Bethlehem. Look around you today. You know, there's 104,000 people in Bradford and Tioga County, and 64,000 of them don't have a church. So big deal that we have 1,000 people at Victory. This isn't big. This isn't a drop in the bucket because his blood was shed for every single person. And we have a responsibility to reach them, and so we have to think bigger. So the first one is mission number 2. The second is message. Somebody say message, not massage. Message. And so we're here to share the message of Jesus Christ. Well, what was that message? It's a message of reconciliation. Somebody say reconciliation. It's kind of a big word. If you have a Bible, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And here's what that message is. It says this: this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Somebody say, I'm new. The old life is gone. I like that. Old way of thinking, old way of doing. A new life has begun, and all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. Salvation is a gift from God, and God brought us back to himself through Christ. That means we were away. And God has given who? 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 How about on this side? Who? Us. Somebody say, that's me. God has given us this task or mission of reconciling people to him. That's our job. For God was in Christ reconciling, there's that word again, the world to himself. Watch, no longer counting people's sins against him. Well, I'm telling you right now, that ought to make you smile. Because of Jesus, he's not counting my sins against me. And Mark, I had a few. And they're gone. That's like winning the lottery. He says, and he gave us, he gave who? This wonderful message of reconciliation. He calls it a message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. Somebody say, I'm an ambassador. God is making his appeal through us. Who's God appealing through? God's using you to appeal to the lost. We speak for Christ when we plead, hey, come back to God. The door is open, verse 21. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. That's good news. Now, let me explain what this word reconcile means. It's not a word we use a whole lot, but here's what it means. If you have a checking account, I hope you reconcile it every month. But here's what it means. It means to restore a broken friendship. It means to turn an enemy into a friend. Well, that's a big deal. That's what Jesus did for us when he went to the cross. And so our job is to go tell people, hey, you can be in relationship with God again through what Jesus did. That's really what the gospel is all about. It's all about relationship made possible through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It speaks of a change. It means to take things that were wrong and to make them right. And so reconciliation is what happens when a holy God and sinful man are brought together again through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary. The reality is we were far from God. Our sin had separated us from Jesus. Our sin had made a relationship with God impossible. God could not come into relationship with us because of our sin. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Nobody's better and nobody's worse. We were all in the same boat. We were enemies of God. The wrath of God was upon us, waiting for a day when it would be poured out in judgment. But when we called on Jesus to save us, and when you believed in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and on the day you opened your mouth and you declared, Jesus, you are Lord of my life, something happened and you went from the enemy of God to the friend of God. You went from far to God to right in his presence. You went from being a foreigner to not only being a friend, but to being a part of the family of God, where you're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus, and you have equal rights to Jesus Christ. And God doesn't bless you because of you. He blessed you because of Jesus. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:12 says, you lived in this world without God and without hope. Well, that described us. But now you've been united with Christ. Once you were far away from God, but now you've been brought near to him by the blood of Christ. And so Victory Church, we preach good news. We believe this book is good news. That's why you don't feel judged, you don't feel condemned, because Jesus said, I didn't come to do that. He said, I came to save, not to condemn. Amen? And so our job is to love, and the Holy Spirit's job is to clean people up. And love tears down the walls. And then the power comes in and begins to change people's lives. Truth without grace is mean. But grace without truth is meaningless. Okay? Very important. And so God has saved us to impact and make a difference in others. And that's the message that we carry. Again, our message is good news. That's why it's called the gospel. Gospel literally means good news. Because we believe we serve a good God. No matter how much hell you're going through on your way to heaven, he's still a good God. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. He doesn't change, no matter what changes in my life. Psalm 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 says, it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. On the night God radically saved me and shattered my bondages, it was his love that melted my heart so that he could mold me into the man he created me to be. The goodness of God. And so now reconciled people are in the business of reconciling people. And we are ambassadors. Somebody say ambassador. The word ambassador means an official agent on a special mission. I want to ask Missy Ross if she would join me on the platform and come help me this morning. Y'all give Missy a big hand today. Mother of four gorgeous kids. Wife of an amazing policeman, Nathan Ross. Y'all give Nate a big hand today. You're proud of daddy, aren't you?
And Missy does an incredible job serving others. She works at RPH. So Missy, we're talking about being an ambassador, an official agent on a special mission, carrying a message. So tell us a little bit about what happened to you a year ago.
Okay. So like you said, I'm Missy Ross. I work at Robert Pecker Hospital. I'm in the trauma department. I've been a nurse for about 17 years. I've gone here about 11 and a half. Can't believe that.
That's crazy.
Anyway, about a year ago, I had a coworker, a friend, who was battling aggressive colon cancer. She was 35, had two younger children, like myself, and had really taken a turn for the worst. Other coworkers were there helping her at her house, and I decided I wanted to go visit her on a day off. Rewind about a couple weeks or a month, Kathy Crane, who goes here, had spoken to me. She knew of her. And we kind of talked about her, and she had said to me, wow, my husband knows this coworker's husband as well. And she said, what a great position God has put you in. And it just kind of planted this seed. It sounds really dumb. I'm a little slow, but this light bulb went off, like, really? Like, so you think I really have this purpose with her? So fast forward to the day off, I was going to go see her the night before. I really, God had been telling me in my spirit that you have to talk to her. She may die soon. You have to find out. Does she know Jesus? I really didn't know. I didn't think she went to church, but I really didn't know. So, I mean, just, I struggle with lots of insecurities. There were so many things he was just telling. You don't have enough faith. You're not good enough. You're not, yeah, Josh and Marsha. You can't do this. My husband, so supportive, he could see me just wrestling with this. I mean, I literally just like paced, but I knew God was telling me, no, I want you to do this. And I was also like, what if she rejects me? What if, right, she is like, oh, you're some weirdo, whatever. And my husband, to the point where he said, do you want me to just go? I'll go tomorrow and I'll ask her. I'm like, but I said, thank you so much, but no, I knew this was my assignment.
Yeah, mission.
I knew it. I just knew. He told me, like, you have to do this. I didn't understand it. I said, Nate, there's so many other coworkers that are closer with her. And he said, you know what? Maybe she needs Missy. Maybe she needs you. So I went over, didn't know what I was going to say, didn't know if I'd have an opening. Well, I was there for hours, and finally we had a moment. We were alone. God said to me, now, do it now. I heard it like so plainly. So I said, can I talk to you? And just, I couldn't even tell you what I said.
Yeah.
Just talk to her. She did not know Jesus. She said, I think I'm a good person. She was a great person. I proceeded to tell her what I believed. And after talking to her for a little bit, I said, would you like to pray and ask Jesus into your heart? It's like it leaped out of her. Yes. Immediately, yes. I was so surprised. I was like, okay. So again, I don't even know what I said, but I prayed with her, thought about what you say every Sunday. She cried. She just felt such peace. So right after that, God said, her kids. And I was like, what?
I thought I was done, God.
I thought I did good there. So then I just opened my mouth, and I said, what about your kids? Her kids were 8 and 11. And she said, what do you mean? I said, do they know Jesus? No, I've never taken them to church. And I said, if you were to leave, who's going to teach them about Jesus? You do it. I said, okay. I said, when? Now. Let's do it now.
Wow.
She called them. They were in their bedrooms. She said, come here, guys. Come into her room. Here again, I was like, okay, God. I don't know what I'm going to say. I just started talking to them. They really didn't know anything. So I kind of just laid some groundwork and just taught them. I told them what their mom had done. After talking with them for a little bit, I said, would you like to pray a prayer and ask Jesus? Both of them, yes. Yes, we want to. We all held hands, they prayed the prayer, they asked Jesus into their heart. Now I'm bawling, and I mean, but if I didn't go to this church, I never could have done this years ago. Like, this church taught me such boldness and just obedience and Kathy Crane, you don't even know. He spoke to you, and like that's how like he started that ball rolling in my head. And that's because I came here a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning, and he just totally spoke through her to me. So
that's amazing. Can we give God praise for that? I mean, that's incredible. And your obedience, we all have those promptings. And Kathy, just that small thing you said sowed the seed that became a harvest of souls. And Missy's obedience was the seedbed for that harvest. But I love how transparent you are about the insecurities you faced. And I'll be honest with you. I've been doing this for a while now, but I have a bathroom in my office. And y'all don't get jealous, but it's because I have diarrhea every Sunday before church. I still get nervous about being up here. I mean, it's not easy. And so all of us go through this. We're like, well, what will they think about what I'm saying? And the insecurities you shared, well, I'm not good enough. I'm not qualified enough. I can't do this. You know, talk about that. How did you get over that?
Again, it was really the night before, and my husband was very integral. And I even said, I'm not Josh and Marsha. And he said, no offense, Josh and Marsha aren't there.
Amen.
They're not going to be there.
That's right.
And it was just this realization like, oh, so you're going to just let her die and go to hell because Josh and Marsha weren't there to talk to her because you think they're better? And it was just this urgency, like.
So you felt her responsibility.
Yes. How was I going to feel if she died and I never spoke to her?
Right.
And again, it was just this, no, you're going to do this. But it wasn't like mean. There was a peace with it,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Like you are. But I really, I prayed in the spirit, like if I, the spirit as well, praying in the spirit just really, I feel like it like just pushed
yes.
Satan down and like, and again.
So there was a battle raging on the inside of you to stop you from this because the devil doesn't want people to know Jesus.
Absolutely.
And so how many of you here have ever felt like, I can't tell somebody else about the Lord? You feel unqualified, inadequate, right? Just let's just be honest today. All right, can you give God praise that you're in good company? We all feel that way. And so I could not say thank you anymore. The kingdom of God thanks you because she is in heaven right now and her baby's name are in the Lamb's Book of Life because of your obedience. And so I just want to say thank God for Missy's obedience. And Missy, do me a favor before you go sit down. I hadn't planned on this, but would you just take the mic and pray the way you wish somebody would have prayed for you? There's someone here today struggling with insecurity and they want to witness for Jesus, but they're torn and they feel condemned because they hold back and they feel like I can't do it. Would you pray for that person right now?
God, I just pray for those people that you're speaking to, that you would like to talk to that one person, reach out to that one person. Lord, just calm their fears, give them strength. Satan, we rebuke you. You get out of their mind. You are not welcome. This is God's word. God, just give them more strength and just a clear vision and peace of what you want them to do. Like, just calm them to know that you will make the way. You will give them the words. They just need to open up to you and just surrender to you and accept the assignment. God, I just pray that you just be with them, show them exactly when and where, and just give them strength and a boldness to just take that step to talk about you. I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hey, Elijah, come here real quick, buddy. Come here. Come here, Hoss. All right. Hey, come tell me. What was Wednesday? What happened last week?
It was my birthday.
And how old are you?
6.
Where'd you go yesterday?
Reptile Land.
Reptile Land. Did you see any animals there?
Snakes and frogs.
Snakes and frogs. Give me 5, son. That's the best kind right there. Would y'all give them a big hand this morning? Thank you guys so much. Amen. So the message, we're carriers of the message. We've talked about the mission, which Missy totally explained to us that she was on a mission. And God does that in every one of our lives. And then the message, we're not only the messenger, we are the message. And somebody needs to hear your story and you know enough to lead them to Jesus. And then the third and final one this morning is very simply this, the ministry. Somebody say ministry. To minister very simply means this. It means to serve others. It literally means a waiter. I like that because I like going to restaurants. But I'm just a waiter at Victory Church, all right? You're a waiter. So
Somebody say, I'm a waiter. And so we're ministers, and Jesus led by example. And he was the greatest servant of all. We can call him the great waiter. And serving is not a stepping stone to greatness. Serving is greatness. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve others and to lay down my life for them. And so the highest calling of every single believer is to express our love for Jesus Christ by serving other people. And so we are here to do that. We are here to do the ministry that Jesus began. And you say, well, Josh, what was the ministry Jesus had? Well, Acts chapter 10, verse 38 spells that out for us. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. It's a fascinating fact to understand that Jesus did not perform miracles as the second person of the Trinity. He performed his miracles as a man, fully man, anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because if he did his miracles as the Son of God, then we can't do them. But he came and he did them as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit so that he could say to us before he left, the works I do, you're going to do them also, and greater works than these you're going to do. That's why he said in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. That's dynamite, dunamis, miracle working power when the Holy Spirit comes upon your life, and you're going to be a witness unto me. And so God has called every one of us to make a difference in our world for him. And not only has he called us, but he's anointed us with his Holy Spirit to make a difference. And that's a powerful reality, because God knows exactly where you are, and he knows exactly, like Missy said, what the people around you in your life need at that moment. And so there's going to be times you're feeling like, man, God's telling me to do something. God's telling me to serve this person. God's telling me to speak to this person. God's telling me to go give something to this person. And I want to tell you today that God cares about everyone. Not everyone. Everyone. We are here as a church not to reach everyone, because we can't reach the whole world. But God's called us to reach our world. So we're not here to reach everyone. We're here to reach everyone. There's a difference there. Jesus went to Samaria because he needed to reach just one woman at a well sitting there that day. And he went out of his way to find her. I think about Jesus and the man that had crawled up in the tree who was in the crowd as Jesus was walking through it that day. And Jesus picked out one man named Zacchaeus and he said, let's go to lunch today. I think about Jesus moving through the crowd and there was one woman who pressed in and touched Jesus and received healing from an issue in her body after 12 years of suffering from many doctors and physicians. And Jesus turns around and he wasn't looking for everyone. He said, somebody. He didn't say everybody. He said, somebody touch me. He called that woman a somebody on that day. I think about it when Jesus went to the pool of Bethesda and all the paralyzed people were laying around it waiting for the waters to stir so that they could jump in and get a miracle. And Jesus picked one man on that day and he lowered him into those waters. I think about Jesus' story about a man who owned 100 sheep. And if he said, if one is missing, he leaves the 99 that are okay and he goes in search of the one. I come to tell you, Victory, today that we are here to reach our world one life at a time. We are not a mass of nameless people, but every one of us have a story. Every one of us are valuable. Every one of us are important to God. He's numbered the hairs on your head. He's designed you. He's destined you. He's ordained you in one prayer, one act of service, one word, one gift, one text, one card, one email, one phone call, one word of encouragement, one act of obedience, one hug, one smile is all it takes to change our world one life at a time. And that's what we're here to do. So people say, well, I can't do anything great for God. Well, Missy thought the same thing, and look. Eternity changed forever because of your obedience. And it's the same with every single one of us. As day by day, we're looking for God. And it comes through relationship. Somebody say relationship. Friends sharing with friends. 2 weeks away from Easter. It's the number one day the world will come to church. 90% of people will come if you just invite them. Hope Moyer did it this week. Hope, where you at? Wave at me. Thank you so much. Who can you invite to come to church with you? Because we're going to share the gospel. We're going to share the life-saving news
that Jesus Christ lived a sinless life, died on the cross as your substitute, and rose from the dead 3 days later to kick the devil out of your life permanently and give you victory, not only in time, but in eternity. If you believe that, can you give God praise this morning? And so we believe that discipleship happens best. We believe that discipleship happens best. We believe that discipleship happens best when all of us are engaged in accomplishing His vision and mission to make a difference in our world. Jesus invited 12 average, ordinary, everyday people on a journey of discovery and development, and He used them to change the world. And I'm going to tell you right now, they didn't have it all together. They were messed up sometimes. Just read about Peter. It's why we love him. He had his own reality channel. He used them right where they were before they were ever perfect. The message of Christ becomes real when we engage in the mission of Christ. And here's what the equation looks like. It looks like this. Mission plus the message equals ministry. You have a mission and you carry the message. And when you put those two together, that's what ministry is all about. And that's why at Victory Church, you see ordinary people engaged in fulfilling God's special plan and purpose for them and for all of us every single week. Because we believe this isn't for a select few. We believe this is for every single person. And there is room in the vision of Victory for all of you. How many of you can say, Josh, I felt ordinary? Anybody ever felt that way? I feel average. Just average. Feel like an average guy. How about average Tim over here? Tim, wave at everybody. I know he won't be offended. That's average Tim. Stand up, average Tim. Tim works at Hilliard's. He's a welding inspector. Came to this church 7.5 years ago. Started serving as a greeter through faithfulness and knowing that I could count on him to do whatever, whenever, however, with a great attitude. He and Debbie. Miss Debbie, would you stand with him? God, she hates this. God has opened one door after another for them. Thank you. They oversee Prison Victory, which our prison ministry goes into Bradford County Jail on the first and third Sundays of every month. We go into Tioga County Jail on the second and fourth Saturdays of every month. They oversee a team of people. They have helped encourage and equip and train that team to also now go and do the same things. And now God opened a door at Hillcrest Apartments on the fourth and the first Sunday afternoons of every month where Tim and Deb are taking the message of Victory Church to the people that live there, and lives are being impacted there. Why? Because an ordinary guy used himself as a vessel of God and said, "Here I am, send me." Would y'all give God praise for their faithfulness today? Jesus came to reveal the Father's love by serving the needs of humanity, and He did it through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I just want to finish by saying this as every one of you stands to your feet today. Every person in this room has a choice every single day. You have a decision to make. You can, number one, you can give up. And some days we feel like giving up. Number two, you can give in. And some days we feel like giving in. Or number three, you can get up and you can make a decision to look beyond yourself and to look beyond your struggles and look beyond whatever you're going through today. And you can make a decision to give God your very best today in spite of what you face, because that's what He gave you. You can make a decision to look past yourself. You can make a decision today to say, "I'm not afraid to give my life to somebody other than myself." You can make a decision today to say, "I've committed myself to something bigger than myself that's not about myself." And you can say, "God, here I am, use me to do something great for your glory," and let's enjoy the ride together. Amen? Let me pray for every person in this room. Father, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you, God, that you have sent us on a mission. You have given us a message and you have called us into ministry. And I pray right now for every single person, God, that you would anoint us to effectively understand, that you would open our eyes about your mission for each of us uniquely and individually, God. That we would embrace that message, that we would live it out loud every day. No matter how hypocritical we feel at times, I ask God in the name of Jesus that the message of Christ would become more real to us than ever before, and we would encounter the God in the pages of that book as
we step into obedience in greater levels and mature and grow in you. And finally, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would anoint us to be effective in the ministry you've called us to. Show us who we can serve. Show us who we can give a piece of our time to, a piece of our talent to, a piece of our treasure to. Show us who to invest in so that their lives will be a better place because we are followers of Jesus Christ. And Father, I just thank you right now for what you've done and what you're doing. I thank you for the amazing works that never get told, like Missy, by so many people sitting in this room today. And God, even though their story might not be told publicly, God, you see it. You haven't missed it. You notice it, and you will reward them for it. We thank you, Father, today that you have changed us, and we are changing our world in the name of Jesus Christ. We give you thanks, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Would you give him a big praise this morning?
Yeah!
Hallelujah to the Lamb of God.